Today's Shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Aleph on the Beis, three lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, we had discussed quite extensively the halachas of how a cemetery looked in the time of Chazal, particularly as we mentioned, the cemeteries in the time of Chazal were made in caves with people buried inside the walls of the cemetery. There's halacha that if somebody is buried in a cemetery, we're not allowed to move that person. As the Gemara teaches us, Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. There are many different reasons given why one may not exhume a body of a mace. One explanation is because of Nivel HaMace. By removing him from his burial spot, it causes Nivel HaMace, that he won't be treated with the proper respect. And in fact, the Chacham Tzvi says that is the main reason why we may not take a mace out of where he is buried. But the Paiskim give other explanations as well. One explanation, as the Kolboy says, is because Cherdas Hadin, when the Nifter is taken out of his kever, he thinks that the Yom Hadin, he's going to be judged again, as everybody is judged when they leave the world. And because of that, Cherdas Hadin, to avoid the Cherdas Hadin for the Nifter, we may not take him out. Another, the Geshe Chaim says that even if there's a concern of B'zoyin HaMeis, and he explains that the B'zoyin HaMeis is just by taking the mace out of the kever. And he explains that even if it was done in the most careful way possible, in a way that the nifter was treated with great kavod, and the nifter was not treated disrespectfully, he says, just moving him out of the place where he's buried suggests the Gesher Chaim represents a B'zoyin HaMeis. And Ramosha, the Shas Chuvas Igris Moshe, Yerodei Chelik Aleph Simon Reish Mem Beis, says that there's a halacha that every nifter has to be buried. And when you take the nifter out of his burial spot, what you're doing is you're being mevatel, you're undoing the mitzvah of Kura. And of course, since there's a halacha that every nifter has to be properly buried, undoing that mitzvah is asur. So the halacha is that we're not allowed to, under normal circumstances, remove a nifter from his burial space. There was a famous story in Eretz Yisrael where the admirim, the rebbes of Karlin, who are buried in Chutz Loretz. So the question is if we can move him to Eretz Yisrael. So the Shulchan Aruch says that in Yerodei Simen Shin Samach Gimel, if there's a concern that the nifter, by leaving him in Chutz Loretz, will be not treated respectfully, and not only that, we're bringing him to Eretz Yisrael. So the Shulchan Aruch says mitzvah lefnoisai. So the question that came up, the Karlina Chassidim had a question if they were allowed to move the rebbes that were buried in different places in Russia because they were concerned that these cemeteries in different cities were going to be overturned, turned into roads or whatever. And the question was, can they remove those Neftarim and bring them to Eretz Yisrael? The Rebbe Yoshev Zatzal said that not only was a mutter, but also it was actually a mitzvah for the two reasons that the Shulchan Aruch gave. One is because we're taking him to Eretz Yisrael, and number two, because where they were not going to be treated with the proper respect. And so too was the opinion of the Tzitz Eliezer. Rav Shlomo Zalman, however, was not so comfortable. He says, one concern he had is if these niftarim would be removed, what's going to happen is that there are other tzaddikim and Jews who are buried in the cemetery. So if these tzaddikim are there, so people come to visit them, and the local authorities then have to treat that cemetery with the proper respect. But if that's not what's going to be the case, there's a real concern that they won't be treated, that the other niftarim won't be treated properly. Moreover, he says, if that's what's going to start happening, there was a concern that the people in the different countries in Europe are going to start abusing the fact that they have Niftarim buried in their cities and their towns and start demanding money, etc. And to avoid that type of a situation, he said, and that's actually what happened, they should be left where they were. So as we said just now, we're not allowed to exhume the body. However, if a person was buried in a place that he didn't, there was no permission from the owner of that place to bury him there, or it's a place that's not really a cemetery, then the halacha is that one may remove the nifter. So our Gemara begins by discussing a Mishnah where we find the body buried, but we don't know if this place where he's buried is a Beis HaKfaris. And as we just said, that if it's a Beis HaKfaris, the nifter may not be moved, or it's not a Beis HaKfaris, or he didn't have rishus to be buried there, and then he could be moved. So begins the Gemara Tanan Hassam, the Mishnah, Masechta Nazir, Dav Samach Dal Rami Beis, and we have the same Mishnah, Masechta Olois, Perik Tazayim Mishnah Gimel, teaches us, Hamoitzi Meis, if we find a nifter, we find a nifter buried, Hamoitzi Meis, we find a nifter buried, but we don't know what is the situation, because if we know that this place where we found the nifter is a full-fledged cemetery, so as we just said, the halacha would be that one may not remove him from there. But if we don't know, so the Mishnah teaches us, if he's mushkif kedarkai, if he's buried in the way Jews are typically buried, the way Jews are typically buried is that they're laying on their back with their hands on the body. So the halacha is, since it isn't a full-fledged Beis HaKfaris, the halacha is, noit leves tfusasai. We can remove the nifter, and not only do we remove the nifter, but the tfusa, the soft ground under him, is taken with him as well. The Rambam says that the source for this halacha is because the pasuk says mispasasis b'damayich, and liquids exit the body of a nifter into the ground that's under him, and therefore that ground is considered part of the body. There's a big machloikus rishonim, how much ground is taken. Some rishonim, most rishonim hold it's 3 etzbos deep. Some say that the depth is 3 tfachim. But again, most rishonim say that it's three etzbos. So the halacha is noitloi vestfusasai. You take along the tfusa. Many rishonim explain that what is the source for this halacha that we take along the tfusa. They say because Yaakov Avinu says when the Sosani, he tells Yosef, when Sosani Mimitzrayim, and the question is, what does the pasuk have to say Mimitzrayim? Of course, he was Nifter in Mitzrayim to teach us that with him we should take part of Mitzrayim, the earth of Mitzrayim. So Tosfos Yontif asks a question. He says, because when we think about Yaakov Avinu's Patira and burial, he was brought directly to Eretz Yisrael for Kfura, and he was never buried in Mitzrayim. So what's pshat that we have to take along some of the earth? There was no earth to take along, hence he wasn't buried there. So the Chidah answers by explaining the pasuk. He says, Yaakov asked Yosef not to bury him in Mitzrayim, even temporarily, because he said to him, if you first bury me in Mitzrayim, what's going to have to do is when you rebury me in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to take along some of the earth of Mitzrayim. And I don't want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael with the earth of Mitzrayim. So from here we see that you're not supposed to take along the earth. Says the Mishnah there further, if you find Shnayim, if you find two bodies that are buried like normal Jews are buried, the halacha is again, Neutlon, Neutlon, West Fusasan. You could take the body and the tfusa as we just described. However, Matzah Shloisha, if you find three bodies, so not halach is as follows. Im yesh b'neihem, if the distance between the first mace and the third mace is mi arba v'atshmoina, between 4 and 8 amis, sarei zeh shchunas karvaris, that shows that this place is a shchunas karis, a shchunas karis, it's a cemetery, and since it's a cemetery, we have to leave the nifter in the cemetery. And not only may we not move the niftarim if we find three of them, but also we have to, we're boydik mimenu, we have to examine from the place where they are buried, ulahalin, esrim amma, for 20 amas around where we find the nifter. Matza echad, besoif esrim amma, if within 20 amma we find another nifter buried, and then the loch is boydik mimenu lahalim, esrim amma. We have to check another 20 amma. Shreglayim ledover. That there's reglayim ledover that since we're finding these niftarim here, it's proof that there are other niftarim there, or it's proof that we have to be concerned that this is a full-fledged cemetery. And as we said, since it's a full-fledged cemetery, we can't take anybody out. If we found just one nifter and we didn't see any other niftarim, then the halacha would be, we could take the nifter without anything else. Of course, the Paiskim all point out that the entire discussion of our Gemara, as we're going to see, is only when they buried, as we've been learning, that they buried them in the caves and put the niftarim in the walls of the grave, in the walls of the cave. But if it's not that way, so then nowadays we don't bury in caves, so there the halacha is that all of these shiurim, 4 amas, 8 amas that we're going to discuss don't apply, because there's no special rules how close niftarim are buried. And if we have 3 niftarim, that's a rai, that it's a base, a kfaris. But the Paiskim ask that why are we so quick that it to identify this place as a shchunas kfaris? Maybe he wasn't buried there as a permanently, and maybe the body is not whole anymore. So the Paiskim say that all the Gemara requires is that it should be identified as a place of muchzuk b'kfaris. Once it's a place that is identified as a place where there are niftarim buried there, that's immediately where the halacha considers it. The halacha considers it a base, a kfaris. Of course, the Rishonim ask a question. The Rashbam quotes this question. We've been discussing, as we just said, we're talking about caves. And when we learned the Mishnah and the Gemara in our previous year, we learned that when we speak about caves, there's a chotzer in between. And in the chotzer in between the caves, nobody is buried. It's just where they stood. So why do we have to check the entire 20 amos? Why should we not be concerned that, why should we be not confident that the middle is a chotzer? So the Achronim say, because we can't be sure where is that chotzer. And since we cannot be certain where that chotzer is, that's why the halacha is we have to check the entire area. As we've been learning, the halacha is we're not allowed to move a nifter, but there are certain cases that the halacha is a little more lenient in being allowed to move a nifter. One, the Yerushalmi Masechet Moed Katan says that moving a nifter to a family plot is a special hanor for the nifter, and he may be moved for that purpose. The Chacham Tzvi says that if a nifter was buried in a non-Jewish cemetery, and we're moving him in order to rebury him in a Jewish cemetery, it's permitted. The Zeruah says, as we said before, that when there's a danger of the Makom Kvura being destroyed by a flood or by other situations, then the halacha is you can move the kever to a safer spot. And Rabbi Yeruchim says that you can move a nifter from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, since burial in Eretz Yisrael provides the nifter with a special kaparo, as the pasuk says, "V'chiper ad masoi amoi." And the Maralbach says that even if the nifter, a big chiddush, that even if the nifter had indicated that he was not interested in being buried in Eretz Yisrael, his children can rebury him in Eretz Yisrael. He says, as long as the father did not explicitly instruct the children not to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, then the halacha, he says, is you can move. He says the halacha is you can move that nifter to you can move that nifter to Eretz Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. Amamar. So we just discussed that if we find a nifter, if there's me'arbevat shemayna, if there's space between 4 and 8 amos, then we could assume that perhaps this area is a shchunas kvarim. Says the Gemara, Mani, whose opinion is it that is the space? Whose opinion is it, asked the Gemara, that is the space we leave between neftarim? E, Rabbanan, Hamri, Arba, Amos, L'sheish. They, as we learned in the Mishnah in the previous shir in the Gemara, they say that the shir is from 4 to 6. So why do we say from 4 to 8? Here of Shimon, Hamashesh al Shmana, he says 6 by 8, and here we're learning 4 by 8. Answers the Gemara Oilan of Shimon he. This Mishnah is following the opinion of Reb Shimon. The question is, if we're following the opinion of Shimon, why is it 4 by 8? Shouldn't it be 6 by 8? The Tanya, Vaitanahu, but it's representing the Tana that teaches us, Matzon Rav Tzufim, if we find the Neftarim right next to each other, Ve'ein Beinehem, and there's no space in between them of Arbam Sat Shemayna, the proper measurement of 4 by 8, Yesh Lehem Tfusa, the Halacha of Tfusa would apply, Ve'ein Lehem Shkunas Kfaris, but the halacha is it doesn't have the din of a shchunas karas, that as we keep on repeating in our shir, if it's not a shchunas kfaris, that we could move them from there. And the pshat is that since they weren't buried the way people are typically buried, so that's why it's not considered a cemetery. We look at the neftarim that are buried in between between the other neftarim, too close, they will look at them kilu einam as if they don't exist. The sham mitzdarfim, and then the other neftarim who are buried within the proper distance me'abams v'shmoina, are considered buried properly, and this is a shchunas kvaris. So the way to understand the Gemara that there's a machlokes, how to understand the opinion of Shimon. Do we ignore the neftarim in between that make it too tight? Or the halacha is that the shear is 4 by 8. Everybody agrees the shear is 4 by 8. The question is, do we ignore what's in the middle or not? Says the Gemara. B'maya kimta. So ask the Gemara, have we explained that Mishnah? Reb Shimon. We explained that Mishnah follows the opinion of Reb Shimon. Ask the Gemara, Emma Seifa, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Boy de kimena l'halon esra amma. We have to keep on checking for a total of 20 amma. Ask the Marmani, ear of Shimon, if we're going to say that it's the opinion of Shimon, so then why is it only 20 esrim v'tartan haven? It should be 22, because the cave is 8 amas, the chotzer is 6 amas, and the next cave is 8 amas. 8 plus 8 plus 6 is 22, not 20. V'rabonon, and if we're going to say that follows the opinion of Rabbanon, and the way the Rishonim explained that this part of the Mishnah is following the opinion of the Rabbanon, that means even though the Reisha is following the opinion of Reb Shimon, this part of the Mishnah we're following the opinion of the Rabbanon, so then it shouldn't be 22. It shouldn't be 20. Tamni Sarahavian, it should be enough just to have 18. Because to them, each cave is 6 amos, and the chotzer is 6 amos, 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. Answers the Gemara, Loilam Rabbanan hi. This part of the Mishnah is following the opinion. This part of the Mishnah is following the opinion of the Rabbanan. But even though it's following the opinion of the Rabbanan, what happened here was the Badak, going the Badak Melech Sinai. You didn't go with a straight line. You went on an angle to keep on checking. And as we learned as recently as the previous year, when you look at something at an angle, something at an angle is longer. So the truth is, an angle compared to the thing, to the sides of a square, is really not that much, is not 2 amos longer. It's 1.4. But the Rishonim will explain. We round it off. That's why esrim amah shereglaim ladover. Because since we found in that place niftarim, we have a strong reason to be concerned that there are other niftarim buried there. And since we have to be concerned that there are other niftarim buried there, so that's why we have to examine for that. If we had not yet found other niftarim, and it seems what the Gemara is teaching us is, we don't have to look for other niftarim. Here, what happened is that the other niftarim were found. Once other niftarim were found, so we have to be concerned that it's a shchunas hameis. If we only found one, we could take him just with his tefusa. Goes back to Gemara and says, "Amar Ma, we learned mi'arba vat shmoina. How much do we have?" Says Gemara. So it could go into badik belachsoinai. So ask the Gemara. That's why we have to add 2 amos. So that equals 18 plus 2. But ask the Gemara, over the ha belachsoina, hanami belachsoina. Just like we measured, we added the angle on one side, we should have to add the angle on another side. So if we start with 18, and because of the angle, we have to keep on adding 2 amos on each side, so it should equal 22. Why is 20 amos enough? Answers the Gemara, Esravatatenhava. Answers the Gemara, Chada belachsoin amrinan. We say that we should have to check on an angle. We only do it once. Tre belachsoin amrinan. We don't do it. We don't do it twice. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon, it follows the opinion of Shimon. We asked if it's talking about, if it's following the opinion of Shimon, then the amount to examine ought to be 22. Why does the Mishnah say 20? Answers the Gemara, Hachem Ayaskinen, the Neftarim that were found were Nephilim, when small young children. And since they were small young children, they don't take up so much space. They don't take up that much space. So ask the Gemara, so that's why you're lessening the amount that you have to examine from one side. So ask the Gemara, the Habba Nephila, Hai Nami Befila, and therefore, it shouldn't have to be 20, it should be 18. Tamni Sarahavian, because on both sides, we should assume that there may be in the Nephilim. Says the Gemara, answers the Gemara, Chada ben Nephila Amrinan, Trey ben Nephila Amrinan. To say that there's a cemetery just of Nephilim, it's difficult to say that that's the case. As the Ritva explains, it's very unlikely, Baruch Hashem, that young children, Nephilim, should pass away. And therefore, the Gemara finds it difficult to have to be to assume that both sides were Nephilim and limit the amount that we have to examine. The Gemara spoke about Neftarim that are buried in between and making them too tight. And therefore, the question is, if they're not buried in the proper way, it's too tight, isn't that an indication that this is not really a Beis HaKfaris? So the Gemara answered that the ones that make the area too tight, make it, the halacha views them as if they're not there. And now the Gemara tells us that this concept, that the halacha looks at something as if it's really not there, we find regarding Kalei Kerem as also. The halacha is that Kalei Kerem, planting something in a vineyard, is usur, and the Mishnah discusses there what constitutes a keren. Ask the Gemara, Rami the Rabbanan ad Rabbanan. But now the Gemara says we're going to have a steer in the opinion of the Rabbanan. Rami the Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon, we're going to have a steer in the opinion of Rav Shimon. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Klein Perikei Mishnah Beis teaches us. Kerem Hanatua Apoxmi Arba Amos. We have a vineyard that is planted that the amount between the rows of grape trees is less than 4 Amos. Rav Shimon Omer ain't a Kerem. It's not considered a Kerem because we've discussed this halacha many times in our shiurim. They used to plant the trees in rows, and they had to leave proper spacing between the rows so people could come there with their animals to plow and to collect the grapes. And if there isn't the proper distance, which as we just said is 4 amos, it's not considered a keren. The chama amrim, it's still considered as a keren. Why? Because roim asem tzoim, we look at those trees that make it too tight, kilo enum, as if they're not really there. So ask the Gemara, kash the Rabbanon, the kash the Rav Shimon. In our Gemara, the Gemara said, it's Rav Shimon's opinion that we could imagine as if they're not there. And there it says, it's the Rabbanon's opinion. So, and here the Rabbanon say, by basic forest, we can't imagine as if the graves are not there. And there he says, we can. Answers the Gemara, Rav Shimon, like kasha, the way to reconcile the opinion of Rav Shimon, a person never plants trees to take them out, to uproot them. Since that's never what a person does, so we can't make believe as they're not there because they're never going, because nobody's taking them out. But when we speak about a basic forest, and whenever we have in Shas, says the Rishonim, Ben Hashmoshes, it means Friday evening by Nishmoshes. We're anxious to quickly bury the Nifter. We want to make sure that we bury him as quickly as possible, as we're going to discuss soon. And therefore, Omikri Manchilei, they put him down there temporarily. So a Nifter could be buried on a temporary basis. And therefore, saying Royin Kilo Enom is very legitimate. Rabbanan ad Rabbanan lo kasha, and the way to reconcile the opinion of the Rabbanan, hocha de nivel, since it's a nivel for the mace, as we started our shir, to remove him from a kever, so people don't bury Niftarim with the intention of removing him. And since people don't bury Niftarim with that intention, so that's why the Rabbanan said we can't view it as kila enum. For like mikri cover, that we can't consider it anything else. Hasam, but when we planted the trees too tight, Maima Omer, the person says, Chaimenei the Shapper Shapper, the person who plants the trees recognizes that not necessarily will all the trees grow fruit. And the Loi Shapper, that the trees that won't properly grow fruit, Lehavilat Sivi. So Agamar just said that there's a point to try to be macabre, to try to bury somebody as quickly as possible. The Cheshukei Chemer discusses a situation where somebody was nifter in Chutz Laretz on Erev Pesach, and the nifter and his family had wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but since he was nifter in Erev Yontif, there wasn't enough time to get to Eretz Yisrael in time. So the question was, what should they do? Should they leave him in the chapel until Matzah Yontif and then fly to Eretz Yisrael? Or should they bury him al Tanai, that when we could, we'll bury him in Chutz Laretz, and then when we can, we'll move him to Eretz Yisrael? So the Cheshukei Chemer says that this question was asked to Rav Eliyashiv. And Rav Eliyashiv said that even though the goal of not burying him quickly is on to bring him to Eretz Yisrael, and we spoke earlier in our shir that we tried, that this is a real important issue about burying somebody in Eretz Yisrael. But as we also just learned, and he quotes our Gemara, that we have to try to bury somebody as quickly as possible. And burying him quickly as possible, not leaving him, not buried till Matzah Yontif. And therefore, Rabbi Yashiv is paskind in that shaila, that the halacha is that we should bury him in Chutz Laretz on Erev Yontif with a Tanai that we will then rebury him in Eretz Yisrael. Our Gemara just introduced a new halacha concept. And that is the concept that the halacha views sometimes a situation that is there, kilo einon. We spoke about the trees, we spoke about the kvarim. So the Chashuk Echemed has a very interesting discussion. The halacha is that the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Siman Lamed Gimel says that the ritzuas that we wear on the tefillin have to be black. The ritzuas of the Shalroish, that we have the two ritzuas going down the front of our body, have to be black. The question is, part of those ritzuas, the part that's extra long, that aren't necessary, weren't painted black. And the question that he discusses, can we apply the concept of kilu einon, as if they're not there, and therefore they're not really, because they're not necessary to be there, because the ritzuas need not be that long, and therefore the halacha looks at a kilu einon as if they're not there, and the fact that they're that long, therefore they're not painted black, won't make a difference. So one point he says, that this halacha that was saying kilu einon is only in a situation where the things that kilo enom that we're deciding, that the halacha is deciding, is not there, is only when it's separate from the part that is there. We spoke about the tree, we spoke about the kvarim, but these are one long ritzua. So to say as if the part that's too long is not there, that's not what the Gemara meant. Moreover, based on what we just learned in our Gemara, the Gemara just said that the halacha is that when do we say the concept of kilu einam, where there's a legitimate expectation that this part is going, that this thing is going to be removed, the tree, the kever, but there's no expectation that this part of the ritzua is going to be cut off. When there's no expectation that this part of the ritzua is going to be cut off, then the halacha is that we can't say kilu einam. He then says another halacha, another point. He says that even though, as we just started, the halacha does not require, in the case that we are discussing now, that the ritzuas be that long, but he introduces an important concept. He says, indeed, the halacha does not require that the ritzuas be that long. But if somebody chose to make his ritzuas longer, he wasn't required to do it, but he chose to make his ritzuas longer, then he has to make them right. And he brings rayas from different places in Shas. One of the things that he discusses extensively is when the halacha tells us that we have to, we had the machloikus, Rabbi Elazar Rameyer, and Masechta Gittin. Does the Torah really require Edim signed on a get? So he says, even according to the opinion that says we don't have to have Edim signed on a get, the halacha is if we have Edim signed on the get, they have to be signed, they have to do it properly. And therefore here too, even though, as we just explained, the halacha does not require that the ritzuas be that long, that only means that they don't have to be that long. But if somebody, for whatever reason, chose to have long ritzuas, then the halacha requires that the ritzuas be done right, and they have to be perfectly black. Hanuloch hamoicha peiris, hanuloch hamoicha peiris. Teaches us the Mishnah. Haimel chaveiroi, if somebody says to somebody else, base kor offer ani moichaloch. I'm selling you a property which is the size of a base core. A base core is 30 saw. I'm selling to you base core offer and imoichalach. I'm selling you a property that it's a base core offer. There's a very big discussion amongst Rishonim. Is the word offer essential? And if the word offer was not used, what would be the halacha? Would the same halacha that we're learning in the Mishnah apply, or only because he used the word offer? So the Rashba says that the word offer is absolutely essential. Because by using the word offer, what he's indicating is that I want to use this place to plant. And if he didn't use offer, if he didn't say offer, he doesn't mean dafka to plant. And therefore, even though he didn't mean to, so therefore, if he didn't mean to plant, the problem that we're going to identify in the Mishnah won't be considered problems. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that even if the word offer wasn't used, it doesn't make a difference. Because what the Mishnah is saying with offer is to be viewed the other way. The Mishnah is saying that even though he used the word offer, so we would think by using the word offer, he meant that it has to be completely a place that could be used for planting. And therefore, as we're about to learn, any area as small or as insignificant should be a prob, should void the sale or not be included in the sale. Teaches us the Mishnah that even though you used offer, the halacha that we're about to learn applies. The Ramban has a whole different approach. The Ramban's approach is that when the Mishnah used the word offer, is because that's the way usually when somebody bought property in those days, that's how the transaction was verbalized or written, but not that the offer makes a difference. So again, says the Mishnah, Ha'imel chaveray, beis kor offer, ani meichalach, v'hayasham nekoim, there are in the property ditches, amukim asar tfachim, that are 10 tfachim deep, and four tfachim, by four tfachim wide, oislaim gvayim asar tfachim, or there are stones that are 10 tfachim high, again, four tfachim by four tfachim wide. So those areas, einanim dadim imai, they're not included in the shear. In other words, the agreement was that we're selling a base core. The halacha is that you have to give land that doesn't have these ditches or doesn't have these stones. Because by having these ditches of stones, they're not places where you could easily plant the stones. You can't plow over. The ditches become difficult to plant in them. And therefore, the halacha is that they're not included in the sale. But, says the Mishnah, Pachs Mikan, if the ditches and the stones are less than this, then the halacha is Nimdadimimai, then they're not, as we're going to learn the Gemara, they're included in part of the sale. The Ritva says that the case of our Mishnah is where a person has a very, very large piece of land, and he's selling to the buyer an area in the land that's a base core big. And now the question is, when he sells the land that's a base core big, what is and what isn't, which piece of land did he sell? But, says the Ritva, if he's standing there and he says, base core zeh, I'm selling you this base core, so then the halacha, says the Ritva, the person, the buyer, accepted this piece of land as it is. And therefore, since he accepted it as it is, that's not going to be a concern. And they will be included in the sale no matter what size. The Amalai, however, the way the sale was verbalized, it was kibbeis kor offer, so it doesn't mean an exact base kor. So then, da'alach is, afil ha'yisham dekoyim amukim yoysim asar tfachim, even if their ditch is deeper than 10 tfachim, oyslam shigvoim yoysim asar tfachim, or racks that are taller than 10 tfachim, harei elu nundadim imai, they are included in the sale. Here we're learning in our Mishnah that something that is 10 tfachim deep or 10 tfachim high is considered a separate rishus. And the Paiskim discuss that Allah is that if somebody is saying Krishma or davening, he's not allowed to daven next to tzoya, not something foul. And the question is, if the tzoya is 10 tfachim high or the 10 tfachim deep, the halacha is that you would be allowed to, Bach says you be allowed to. The Taz disagrees. And he says that the halacha that we're discussing in our Mishnah is a question of a sale. And since it's a question of a sale, so there's a purpose in why I bought the property. And if these parts of the property don't serve the purpose of my buying it, so then it's not included. But when we speak about a separate reshus for Krishna, just because it's four tefachim wide, it's inadequate. And only to be considered a separate area, it would have to be four amos wide. And the Mishnah Berura, Paskins quotes the Derech Chaim, he says that unless it's four amos separate, unless it's an area that's separate, that's four amos wide, one should not say Krishna. If one did, given that we have the opinion of the Bach, he should say Krishna over, Krishna or the Tefillah should be said over B'Torah's Nadavah.